It's all about those games and apps and websites that are addictive that are the problem. And he says in some cases, 1 hour of screen time gives you the same dopamine spike as cocaine. He's seen the brain scans. He uses the science to prove his point. When he spoke to Tegan Philpott, he said it probably all started, from the figures they got, with COVID.
COVID pushed us over an edge. Yeah. And I've been very busy. So it exposed many of the flaws that people suspected in the education system, because it didn't take long before everyone wanted their children back into the physical classrooms as soon as possible. So you had moms who suddenly had to become tutors. They didn't have enough computers to go around. And then when they walked away from the children, they did everything but the assignments. They were on TikTok. They were on everything else. And so it pushed those dopamine levels higher than I've ever seen them in all the years I've been doing this.
Now, you work with people all over the world. So right. This is not just an Australian issue or just a Canadian issue or just an Asian issue. This is happening all over the world.
Just to give you an idea, a lot of people say, why are you in Africa? You can go into the townships where they don't have adequate food, but you'll find really nice phones. I was just in Thailand for 3 weeks, and we were up with the Lahu people up in the mountain. It wasn't all that remote, but it was in a village up in the jungle, and we had to take tablets and phones away from the children on the front row before we could have our meetings. So the whole world has gone crazy with these devices in places it might shock you.
How do we win the battle?
We've lost, and I'm being very serious. So what Nigel and I are doing are throwing a lifeline to those who really want help, and there are some. There are some. If we didn't have victories, I'd have no motivation to keep going. But the world is, I don't see a whole lot of people too anxious to get well, even though we identify the problems. But we live for those handful that get it when the penny drops. And I will go to the ends of the earth to help make that happen.
You don't have to be a person who is on your phone 24/7 to be addicted to it, though, do you?
No. You know, for example, with pornography, in 1/32nd of a second, that image burns into the brain, and then you're going to struggle. With video game addiction, it's on the same level as cocaine. As you know, I wrote a book. The second book that I've written in this series is called Digital Cocaine. It comes from the brain scans, and they're nearly identical. And in some activities show that it's heroin-like addiction. So it doesn't take long at all, especially in an underdeveloped brain of a child. So what the doctors tell us is that in about an hour in an adult, the adrenal system with screens gets on overload. And, of course, that's adrenaline getting pumped in the brain. Then the dopamine starts. But children have no resilience whatsoever. Their brains are underdeveloped, so instantly with them, they'll just be mesmerized. So you can put a screen in front of a child, and they will not understand the content at all. But that's not the point. It's the dopamine coming from the screen itself, and the motion will mesmerize them chemically. But people think, well, look, they're engaged, meaning they think that cognition is happening. But most often, it's not. So we have a problem.
Have we gone too far, or can we still do the everything in moderation?
Once you have crossed over into addiction, you know, once the brain has gone anhedonic with a dopaminergic barrier, all these medical things that we talk about, you cannot use words like limit, balance. It's just a tool. At that stage, I just finished a book called Digital Rehab. It's a clinical look at what it takes to detox, how long it takes by age group and all that. Once you've crossed over into digital addiction, the brain cannot function until it has returned to homeostasis, until it's reset.
Is it just like being an alcoholic? You can't have one wine, you have to have none.
That's exactly right. And then you have to tell the alcoholic, once they dry out, stay away from the pub. You have to tell the video game addict, stay away from the video game.
How do they do that given the whole world is digital?
That's the problem. For example, South Korea has, at the time I wrote Digital Cocaine, they had 200 digital detox rehab centers. Well, Dr. Cardaris, one of the guys I look up to, in his book, he says now there are now 400 of these detox centers, because I was in South Korea when they had 200. And the problem is they detox these video gamers. They have the best video gamers in the world. Well, the recidivism rate, from what I understand, is really high, because once they get out, culturally, there's no stigma against these drugs like it would be with cocaine and heroin and so forth. And so they just go back to it, you know, and now the object is to detox them, but equip them to not go back to it. And it's daunting. It is so daunting, the pull, because of the cultural pressure with no stigma. So we're in a losing battle. But again, for the sake of the handful that get it, I'll go to the ends of the earth.
I mean, in my day, I took the Wi-Fi and put it in the boot of my car and took it to work. So the kids couldn't have the Wi-Fi unless I allowed them to. Cellular data has changed the ballgame.
Yeah, sure has. And when we, you know, we used to be able to say have filtering software, DNS, you know, blocks and that sort of thing. But the reality is we found early on that most kids have at least two phones, the one that the school sees and the parent sees, and then the one that their friends see. Mm. So at one time I knew the statistic, at least in the U.S., was only 5% of any given home had any sort of a filtering software. I don't know what it would be here. Probably about the same, I would guess. But every child has about 15 friends whose homes don't have anything, and they spend their time at their friend's house, and so they're just getting unfettered use there. So here's the solving point. Here's what has to happen. The prefrontal cortex, which is that area of the brain right behind your forehead, that is where the brakes of the whole thing is. That's where impulse control happens in the brain. Children do not have any brakes. That is the last part of the brain to develop. It would be somewhere around 25 years of age before they have full capacity to have impulse control. So the problem is we give them these mobile devices that produce all this dopamine. And with the children, I liken it to a car and petrol. So with the pleasure center of the brain being stimulated with our mobile devices, it's like pushing the accelerator in a car, and you got all this petrol going in there, which is dopamine, and their engine is just revved, going really, really fast, and they don't have brakes to stop. And that's what addiction is. You're going fast, but you can't stop. Mm. Parents are the only ones capable of being the brakes for the children because they're matured, unless they're addicted. And anyone who is addicted, regardless of age, their brakes have failed as well because they're addicted. They can't stop either.
Is that why when you travel around, you talk to the young people and you also hold sessions for the parents
so
that everyone's getting the message?
Yeah, because 35-year-old gamer, the dad needs to come to the parent meeting because ultimately they're the ones purchasing everything in the home. So they have the ultimate power to stop this madness.
There you go. Amazing, isn't it? And that you started off by saying, in some cases, 1 hour of screen time gives you the same dopamine spike as cocaine. And you've seen this brain scans. It's just an amazing story. So they're going to be at Bacacia State School today for years 4 to 6 and also Seaforth State School. And they're moving through the region. I'll mention those over the next couple of days. In a lot of cases, their parents have been invited as well.